Let's get that.
All right, Rosa Public Podcast with Karamo, take one.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Rosa Public Podcast. I'm your host, T-Rose.
It's your boy, Mout.
We got my man, PJ in the building, Mike, Liz, Trey in the building. And we got a very, very, very special guest. We have former Real World Philadelphia. Emmy Award-winning yeah. Co-host on Queer Eye and daytime television host of the Karamo Show, Karamo Brown himself.
What's up?
Thank you for having us here. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
We appreciate you.
I said this when I first walked in. Let's set the record straight. I begged you to be on y'all's show. This was me begging y'all.
Yeah.
You didn't come to me. I begged you. And then when it was about to fall apart, begged you a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a fan of what you all do. I just think y'all are just phenomenal.
I appreciate you. Yeah, so. First of all, there's not many hosts who would do this.
But they stupid. And they don't see the content you're doing. See how grifted y'all are. They're dumb. You know what I mean?
I appreciate you, man. It's
amazing. It's a good feeling. We appreciate the love.
Of course, we were preparing for this for quite some time. Trust me.
I'm with it.
Trust me. How are you? How's your mental health been? Did anybody ever ask you that? Because you are always.
You know, I appreciate you asking that. I do have one person who asked me that is my best friend Trey, who you shout out, who's in the building. We've been best friends for 25 years, and the reason Trey should not be in the job he does. He's a lot smarter than me. Mm-hmm. And in 2020, I basically begged him to work with me because I was like, I just need someone around who I can trust 24/7, who just knows when I'm up, knows when I'm down, you know, who can always just be there. Like, y'all best friends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you have that family, you walk in and they just know exactly what it is. And so Trey has always been that support for me. And it's something that I encourage to people, not even just like in our business, in our line of work, just like period, like be true to your day ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think sometimes people think that day ones are... like you'll find another one, like you'll rebuild that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's hard.
Yeah, you play around them kindergarten, you know, playground games. It's not as easy, to find somebody who knows you, can trust you. And so he does. He's the person who always asks me, and I thank him every day for that because it just makes me always know that I can give a lot because I know that he'll always see if I have too much on my plate.
Mm-hmm. That's good, and he's always going to tell you. What it is. Not beat around the bush with it. Tell you what you need to know, not what you want to hear.
Yeah. Always. Yeah. Actually, I don't really have that problem because I'm usually the more one that like is self-introspective. I usually got to tell his ass like, hey, you know, maybe there's some room here. Am I lying? Exactly. I'm not lying. So I'm usually like, I call myself out.
Yeah. Accountability.
Word of the month. Word of the month.
So, Karamo, you are very successful, like in the television world.
Appreciate that.
What keeps you humble?
So I was funny because I was watching. Y'all seen that new Wendy Williams documentary that came out?
No, I didn't watch it.
Okay, so if you haven't, it's a true. I've been saying this since day one when I came into this business. The minute I left social services and decided I wanted to be in television because I always had the dream, but you know. Growing up poor, you know, coming from like a Caribbean background, you know, growing up in a hood, like this was, I never had a model of how you get here. Like, you know, it was very far-fetched. And so when I started to journey my way into this world and taking it seriously, you know, trying to make a career in entertainment, I always used to say, I want money, not fame. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's a lot of people that come in here and they say they want fame. And then the money comes later.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the reason I brought up Wendy is because throughout the entire documentary, she just kept saying, her parents said, all she ever talked about is how much she wanted fame. She kept saying she wanted fame. And her mental health, unfortunately, is deteriorating right now. And it's sad because you see a woman who was so vibrant allow her mental health to be so affected that it's taken away a lot of the spark. And I do believe she'll come back. You know what I mean? I'm praying for her. But I've seen a lot of people like that who want the fame so bad. Like, you see how they interact. You see how they walk through the world. Like, you and I work together every day. Mm-hmm. And you see, I don't walk through with, like, as if I'm famous.
It's crazy. There's a lot of television show hosts who, when they walk in, they don't address their staff. They don't talk to them. They actually don't want them.
Yo,
to
I heard anything. Somebody, I ain't gonna say no names, does that, and I almost threw up in my mouth. Yeah. I was like, what do you mean? You know, you walk by people and you don't say, my mother will slap the hell out of me if you walk past anybody and don't say good morning.
Yeah.
Good, you know what I mean? Whatever the case may be. But I think a big part of that is like the desire for fame has a lot of subcontext to that. That means you want people to revere you. You want them to like, be after you. You know, where me, I'm like, I want the money because I got to grow up with none. So like, you know, and money is in the bank account quiet. You know what I mean? Like if I walk through a room and nobody notice me, it don't matter. Cause once I go home, I'm be like, hey, dollar bills, y'all still know me. Yeah. Okay, girl, I know you too, you know? And I think that's what keeps me humble because this stuff is, you know, this don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What means something is how much we are, in my belief, how much we give to each other, how much we support each other, how kind we are to each other. Because like, as I was walking off my stage, you know, for my talk show, I don't know if you know over there, but they switch out our stages so somebody else will shoot on it.
Okay.
And the first time I saw that, even if I would have had a inkling of being like, oh, I'm famous now, I'm like, the minute I'm done, y'all, my name's gone.
Yeah, someone else.
Yeah. So what, I'm gonna get caught up in your whirlwind of fame when it, as easy as you put my name up, you could take my name down. So
that's very true.
Very true. You know what I mean?
You spoke on wanting to be famous wanting to be on television when you were younger.
Yeah.
What started that though? Like what did you watch like Montel? Did you watch Montel coming up?
I did watch Montel. I watched Montel. Yeah, I watched all of them. I watched Montel. I watched, this is way before y'all time. You too young for this.
I remember Ricky Lake Montel. I remember Montel.
No, you too young for that.
I remember walking by my mom.
Okay. That made more sense.
And I would glimpse, but I wasn't like sitting there.
Yeah. So I was young too, but for some reason, I told the story before. I've always been nosy. Just I'm nosy as hell. Mm-hmm. And so I've always wanted to know people's business. But something about my Scorpio trait also makes me a vault.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you could tell me all your business and you ain't never got to worry about, like, it's going to go back somewhere else.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? Like, people in this room have told me their business and I ain't never repeated it. You know what I mean? Because that's just not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, seeing them be able to get people's business, I was like, you get paid for that? Like, you get paid just to sit and run your mouth? Like, I was a kid in school that got told, I got good grades, but I was constantly told, he runs his mouth too much. He's constantly talking. And nobody tried to foster that. Now, one person tried to say, well, where's a career that he can do? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted to send me to the principal's office. Everybody wanted to call me, you know, like, a troublemaker. And luckily, I had a father who was a fighter that was like, no, you don't get to label him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that allowed me not to feel like this was a negative thing. But what made me want to be in TV was watching these people talk and connect. And then once I realized that there's the power in connecting with people, that they don't feel alone, that was it for me. I realized, like, watching that Montel, the Sally, the Donahues, the Oprahs, the Maurys, I was like, oh, there's something here that I could do and actually maybe my goal is to hopefully try to figure out a way to elevate it in some way, not to take away from what anybody else done, because that sounds like egotistical, but try to make my own stamp on it.
Yeah. Oh, my bad, bro.
No, I was going to say, just touching back when you started saying, how do you prepare yourself, like, when you're sitting there listening to people's drama? Does that, like, affect you in a negative or a positive way, just preparing yourself to take on people's stuff?
So it didn't until this show.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't until this show. Before, I used to be able to take it on. I would be like, give it to me. And then somehow, when we got to this show, I don't know if it was a combination of the fact that, like, I take this show really serious.
Mm-hmm.
And season one, it was rough because, like, I used to get cussed out every day by the executives that be because we used to go overtime.
Oh, yeah.
You was there. We go overtime. Let me tell you what you don't want to do to an executive is go overtime on their budget because, like, they will get upset. But it was like, I didn't give a damn. If you brought people in front of me, if they went off on a tangent, my empathy mixed with my training, we were going to go it. Because for me, and again, this is no disrespect, honestly, to anyone, I had watched so many people in daytime take advantage of Black people's pain LGBTQ people's pain and make it seem like it wasn't worth anything, mm-hmm. that I was like, no, I need you to know your pain, your trauma. I hear it. I've seen it. I've felt it. And I'm going to help you solve it, mm-hmm. because God gave me enough of a talent. And so it used to affect me big time when we couldn't, when I couldn't solve, when I couldn't give them a tool, when I couldn't solve something. I mean, I would go home and I'd be bawling. I would like, I mean, it was rough season one and even a little bit of season two, because I had to release a little bit and say, you know what? This is just the first step, which mm-hmm. is why during season two, I started saying, you know what? All I can do is the first step.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used from, I'm on this other show called Queer Eye mm-hmm. on Netflix. And there we got a whole week that I can like.
You got time.
I got, you know.
You can pick up brick by brick.
We got brick by mm-hmm. brick. You know what I mean? And in the middle of it, I can be like, you want to get a cocktail? Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, oh, you want to go shopping real quick? Like, mm-hmm. it was like, it's very calm and easy. And then here it was like, no, come on. You got 20 minutes. The clock is going down. Fix it all. Mm-hmm. And so giving myself grace allowed me to feel as if I'm able to handle it and not be overwhelmed, but understand that I do want to make sure I help them, but understand that I can only give them a first step. Yeah. And I think that's a big thing that as a young Black man, no one really taught me is how to give myself grace. Mm-hmm. Everyone taught me how to hustle, how to be strong, how to make sure I'm doing for others, be a good man, be a good father, mm-hmm. you know, be this, be that. But no one said, be great, give yourself grace. Yeah. I don't know for y'all, is that a conversation y'all no. had?
Not when I was young, you know. It's always to be strong. Be strong, Black man.
Be strong, Black man.
Don't let them see you weak, you know. Keep that, same. You know, don't let them see you in pain. But yeah, as I got hustle. Older, yeah. As I got older, I felt like it's all right to feel that pain and give yourself grace and adjust, and it's all right. It's all right to be, it's okay to not to be okay.
Yeah. And so I just, it's something now that I'm constantly practicing of being like, you know, this is a new messaging I'm giving myself is that I have to give myself grace. And it's something I'm trying to like, really like make sure that I'm just discussing openly, because people need to know that even at this point of success in my career, I'm still trying to give myself grace, because a lot of times I'll find myself feeling like I'm failing mm-hmm. my mission or what I feel like I'm supposed to be here doing. And I'm like, no, I'm just supposed to show up every day and do the best that I can. And what will happen if my intention is pure in it. And so it's a lot of giving myself grace. And that's where I'm at.
You know what I love you brought up? There are a lot of talk shows that people thought would make Black people look bad. And I'll say, I'll never forget this day. It was this season, actually. You know, we always get guests that curse. And you allow that, which is fine. You let them get their protocol. Some people are, you know, that's how they speak.
That's how they communicate.
You never judge them for that.
Yeah.
Whenever it gets too far, like people try to fight, is when you're like, yo, hey, we're going to remove you. And we're going to keep this person here. I'm going to talk to you. And you talk to people separate. I love that.
Yeah,
because and you really care about the way that we look on TV.
Yes, agreed. Because, enough, like, I mean, yeah.
Most of,
people like to fight. Yeah. We ain't got to put our business out there like that always. You know what I mean? And also, that's not how it constantly is in our families. Like, I've seen many a times my aunts, uncles, family members, people in my community, they've gotten to arguments, and it has always come to blows. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're not all 90s movies where it comes fighting. To, you know, fighting and gunfight. You know what I mean? Like, it just does not happen that way. And again, this is no disrespect to any other show, but you've had enough of that. You've had enough of that. And the thing is, I'm not also trying to sugarcoat, because what I also hate is for people to make Black people feel like we all got to be perfect. So like when you said the cussing, like I have a very educated, very, very intelligent, has 3 master's degrees. I was working on her doctorate aunt who is, I mean, just the fanciest, but you put some brown liquor on her ass and she gonna cuss out anybody on the side of the street. Mm-hmm. Does that take away from her intelligence? Not at all. Does it take away from her accomplishments? Not at all. But that's the way she feels comfortable in those moments to express herself. And what I realize is that we have been so defined by our language that we now get afraid of it. That's why we talk about code switching. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid of Black people's language. I will never let them disrespect each other. I will let you speak your truth. But then once it gets to the point where it's just, you know, stupid. I'm just like, okay, separated. This is dumb.
Yeah.
You don't need to be here anymore because there's no effective communication. You know what I mean? And you've seen many times on the show, I'll just be like, this is a waste of my time. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Y'all came here to act a fool. We're not going to do this.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I've heard you say that. Why are we here?
Why are we here?
So how, after dealing with people all day, how do you decompress?
Me?
Yeah, how do you decompress? I'm hearing everybody's drama. Like, you're like, all right, I'm going to go home. I want to have a good weekend. How do you not bring that home to your relationship, into your household, into your family dynamic? How do you do it?
Well, it was a lot of practice. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of practice of understanding that. It started with my kids. Because even before I got into television, just working in social services, I would come home with so many people's problems. Because I work primarily with kids in the foster care system, kids who were homeless. And so these kids had so many things that they were dealing with on a daily basis. And I would come home, and my kids would come in the house, and the first thing, and they would start complaining about some stuff, and I'd be like, are you kidding me? Shut your little ass. You know what I mean? Like, I just would, I mean, like, you know, I was this little boy don't know where his mama is, his grandma just died, his daddy on crack, he don't got a place to live, and you begging me for a PlayStation right now? Get out of my face. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I realized, I was like, oh, no, you deserve my patience. You deserve everything that I give to them, you deserve as well. And the only reason I realized that is because I realized my parents didn't give me that patience. Mm-hmm. Whatever they were dealing with, they would give the people at work. I would go to my mom's job, and she'd be all smiley and happy. And I'm like, I heard you on the phone yesterday with my aunt. You don't like this man. And she's over there smiling and whatever. And then you get home with me, and you cuss me out because I didn't wash a dish. Which I understand.
Yeah.
We have chores.
Yeah.
But at the same rate, where's the patience for me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I think, like, we have to check ourselves. You know, you'll lie to them, but you'll come home and you'll give them your best, but you'll give me your worst. Mm-hmm. And so it was something that I realized, like, with my own kids, I was like, no, if I'm going to give them my best, I got to give you my best. Because otherwise it's not fair. Because if I say I love you and I say I'm just at work there, then I got to give you my best.
Yes.
And so that was how I started to realize, like, to not put it on my family. And that became easier more I practiced it, because I was like, I was practicing patience with people I love. I was practicing patience through love. And I don't know if people know how to do that or practice that enough. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, especially as we get older and life gets more stressful, we forget to practice patience. You see it, right? It's quick. True. It's one of the things that I see often, like, just destroys relationships. You just immediately start to just stop practicing patience for each other. And you just be like, oh, you know what? I'm done. I'm finished. Whatever. And it's like, no, go back to, like, when you first met and you had been like, oh, you know what? I'll listen to you, baby. I'll figure this out.
Yep. You preaching right now. That's truth right there.
It's fact. So, yeah. That's good. Did you realize when creating the show, like, how big not only in the show would be, but for the black community, as far as, like, we are, black people, I feel like, are terrified of therapy.
Yeah. Like, yes.
If you hear like, oh, she went therapy, he went therapy, people are like, oh yeah, he crazy.
Yeah,
like,
crazy.
They think it's a crazy. So, and now it's crazy how it's ironic how people come to the show and they're like, yo, hearing what he says helps me out on my day to day.
Let me tell you how, first of all, the trouble I got in season one dropping and giving out therapy.
Helping people got you in trouble?
What daytime talk show, y'all know people be talking about, hey, here's therapy. We heard somebody get in a car, you get a basket, I was passing out therapy like, hey, I can't solve this. You want some therapy? Because I was just like, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I can't tell you how many emails were coming through like, hey, we got to make sure with legal, we got to make sure, you know, and I get it with the corporate stances. But I'm like, I'm not saying I'm going to do your therapy. I'm saying, let's figure out where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You opened yourself up here. Why not give you some type of aftercare after you leave? And so I think it's the best thing ever. I mean, like, I hope it starts a new precedence in daytime TV where anybody who works in our space, you know, which is like, you know, they call it the conflict space. I like to call it like the talk space because, like, we're not with celebrities, but, like, people are just really talking their real emotions that, like, it's required that you offer that. You know what I mean? I think it's better. And so, I love it. I love that people are coming for it now. And I love, we were talking about this the other day, me and Trey, my best friend. We were like in the house, and there was a dude there was a clip that posted, and the guy stood up and was like, "Baby, you know I watched Karamo's show with you too, and I learned about boundaries." And I was like, "Look at this! This man is my daddy age, and I know nobody in his generation taught him about boundaries
at all.
Correct?
No, nobody. Right, you know the clip I'm talking about, Mike? You posted. I'm like, I know Mike. You know he does all of our clips. He's here in the building as well. Shout out to Mike.
Shout out to Mike.
I was like, so that gate, it just makes me happy because I'm just like. Again, I think I'm a small piece of whatever puzzle is being solved, and I'm a small piece, but I know that my piece is important, and I don't take that lightly.
I love
your piece is helping people.
That's the piece. That's the piece. It's a small piece, but you know, it's to get somebody else to do it even bigger. You know,
I brought my little brother to the show last year. And he said he was like, "Yo, bro, I sat here and he made me think." About like I look at things different through other people's lenses now because that's what you told you said to somebody. Hey. And I was like, "What's up?" I was like, "Oh, you got that?" He was like, "Yo, bro, he's deep." He's like, "He's deep." And so like, we're heading into season 3.
From your ears to God's lips.
Yeah, we're heading into season 3.
Now we doing it. I didn't know we doing it.
I realized this. I don't know if you've realized it.
Yeah.
I feel like every season has been kind of like a theme. So season 1, you talked a lot about gaslighting. I didn't know what gaslighting was until you started bringing it up.
Yeah.
This season was, you brought it up, giving grace.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. What do you think this theme for season 3 is going
to
be?
You know what? I don't even know yet. I mean, what we're going to have to do, like put myself back on here because I'm excited to be here right now, invite me back. And then you know, like, we'll be like, you remember when we talked about that in season 3? Like, I don't know. You know, it really just comes up with like what's going on, you know, like where we're at right now. Like the beauty of me being young, black, and gifted, as you know, but is this is not something that's for. I'm not so disconnected from social media. I'm like at this sweet spot where like people younger than me, I can still connect with because we listen to the same music, we go to the same places, and then people older than me, I also can connect with them. And so I'm in this like sweet spot where I'm just like, oh, I'm hearing what everybody's saying, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing the parallels, and I'm like, okay, how do we bring this in the conversation? And so I don't know what do you want the theme to be.
That's a good one. But you also said accountability was.
I love accountability.
But I don't know.
You said that was the word.
That's the word of the month. Yeah, so accountability is important.
Yeah, accountability is huge.
Yeah.
Well, see, that
actually would be good because I think that's something that came out a while ago where everybody feels like, well, especially like I got homeboys that be like, baby, look, but I took accountability. But it's like your accountability is trash.
There's different levels.
Just because you acknowledge that you did something that was trash doesn't mean that it now is fixed.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think people need to understand that accountability comes with a lot of action. Mm. And I don't think most people understand what that action step looks like. You know, like just because you broke the trust and said, I'm sorry, I broke the trust, doesn't mean now there is ample steps you have to take to rebuild that foundation of trust. And I think maybe having more, you might have hit it. I think it might be accountability. Accountability in action.
I'll be there episode one then.
Done. But I think that's, you know, I think those are the type of things. But again, if you ask any of my exes, I was trash. Like, I love that I give relationship advice because, like, I was trash. Best friend, was I trash?
that's the beauty in growth. Like
I was trash.
The beauty in growth. Like for now, like you have your own show around, right?
Yeah.
You also work with Queer Eye, so you have other hosts that we work with.
Yes.
What do you find easier? Working in a group setting along with those individuals, or do you like going into the daytime talk space on your own, being able to do things your way?
Well, unfortunately, if you know the struggle behind the scenes, this still ain't my way yet. You know what I mean? It is a quiet, underlining battle. And I think that's one of the things that, especially, I've been doing a lot of little mentoring right now with, and I'll answer your question. Sorry.
No.
I've been doing a lot of young mentoring with like young black talent, you know, like just trying to let them know, like, no matter what level you get to, you know, there's the unfortunate part is that there are still many executives who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s that are white and who don't understand or who don't want to see things change. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as woke of a time we're in, you still are fighting. I'm constantly fighting battles. And I think it's been the easiest out of all fighting battles at NBC, if I can be real with you, mm-hmm. because I do think also having majority of women be in charge gives an empathy and an awareness that has helped me to have changes in my show that I don't think would have happened if there would have been older white men in charge. And that's just real. You're there every day. You see, like, we did something on my show today that, like, nobody in the conflict genre space has done. You know what I mean? And I'm like, they see the growth. They see where things can go. And those were women that were like, oh, I see this. And so, but with that being said, there's still things that, like, I'm constantly fighting that the show that I want ultimately, I'm not there yet. But to answer your question, which one do I like better? I mean, I love my show, but I also love, you know, like I love the other show. Because on this end, like, let me say, that show over there, like, as much as I love it, like, if I get tired, I'd be like knocked out in the back of the car. And there's four other people to do all the work. You know what I mean? And I don't, like, there's been scenes where they've been like, we got to cut around you because you were sleeping in the back. And I'm like, yeah, they were talking, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. And vice versa, when they're falling asleep too, that this is real. Like, I will fall asleep in the car. And here, it's like, I got to stay alert. People are always like, you know, why do you take notes? And I'm like, because it's just me listening. And if I miss something, I got to be like, what'd you say? Hold on. What'd you say? Let me refer back. And so I love both. Both come with their own challenges. Both come with their own rewards. I can't pick right now. Ask me next year if I still don't get nominated for another Emmy for the talk show. And then I might, like,
nah,
no, I'm joking.
Now, nah, we speak nice. Listen, we get an Emmy.
We get an Emmy. You said we getting it. You know what I mean? You're a vital part of this team.
Listen, we getting it. Listen, that's going to go on my resume. Emmy award winning.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
All right, listen. But you mentioned having a woman. You have a all-woman team. Other than Trey.
Yes.
Who helps you out at the show.
It's majority women.
Majority women. How big is that impact on you? Like, even with Sinaj and Jackie and Maya.
It's really big. Well, first of all, like, one of my big priorities, and, you know, I normally don't talk about this publicly, but, like, this is a space that I don't mind doing it. Like, it's very important for me, and this is because it was done for me, and how I was raised, I like to make sure all of these women have opportunities to bring them up. Like we're pretty pro-black at the Karamo show. Very
love that.
The way we talk, the way we support each other. You know what I mean? I don't really like let stuff slide there. And I think it's also important. Like, we get opportunities and we're told about opportunities and given stuff. But for having women around me, especially black women around me, it's important. It's the only thing that has saved my life. You know what I mean? Like, people forget that, like, we're in a different time now and things are getting better for the LGBTQ plus community. But especially for me as a black gay man, there was times in, you're part Jamaican, so you know I'm Jamaican. Mm-hmm. And there was a song growing up that was popular. I mean, at the core of me being 9, 10, 11, 12, which is Boom Bye Bye and About to Boy, you know, I promote the Nasty Man. Yeah. So this song was,
Bantan.
I'm talking about this song was, I want you to imagine, like, Drake playing on loop. Like, you would be like, oh, yeah. But the song is, like, basically saying, kill every gay man and shoot him in the head. And you have every uncle, aunt, mother, and father whining to it, dancing to it. And you're right there as a young gay man. You're like, you're basically saying, kill me. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, that was difficult because I never knew where to feel safe. And I realized the safety, majority of the time that I ever felt, was always from black women who have always in our culture protected us as black men. Mm-hmm. Whether we were straight, gay, no matter what, they have always, whether they have wanted to or not, and I don't take that lightly. And so when I surround myself with black women, it's because I'm always saying thank you to them. And that is genuine in my soul. It comes out through my actions. I hope they feel it comes through my actions. Because in moments in 11th, you know, 9th grade, 10th grade, where I was nervous that somebody might, even though I was always big, I still had that fear of, like, what about, you know, my teammates turn on me? Because one of them think that I'm looking at them, even though I'm not.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's going to happen then? And it was always the safety and comfort of black women that always made me feel like, oh, don't worry, we got you. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, let them try you. Mm-hmm. You with us. And it always gave me this safety. And that's why I make sure I surround myself. And it was also the first place that I felt like I can be empathetic and feel safe enough to talk about who I am, what I'm feeling, without being judged. Because me and my homeboys, we did it, but we didn't really know what we were doing. Yeah. And I would get my homegirls, and they were like, oh, yeah, talk about it. And I'd be like, okay. And they'd be like, cool. And so that's why I surround myself.
I love that.
Yeah, that's
nice. But did we always close out with this question? What's the toughest thing you rose above to get to the point where you're at now?
The toughest thing I rose above to get to where I am now, I'll tell you, is self-doubt. Self-doubt. Or on top of that, maybe it's that thought that maybe my dreams wasn't going to happen. Maybe I'd already missed it. Again, that goes with the doubt. It was that idea of like, it's like, am I hustling? Am I really going to make it? Like, the opportunity seems so far. I mean, I'm very transparent about my story that, like, I remember when, Trey, I'm going to tell the story. I don't think I ever talked about this story. So when I moved back to California, my sons, I'm single father to, I was 27? 27 years old, I had no money. And so I was moving to this apartment. I was like, what the hell am I supposed to do right now? I ain't got no money. And I called Trey and I was like, Trey, I need a fridge and a couch. And he was like, bet, I'm going to go to Rent-A-Center and rent you something. Yo,
That's love.
Love. Because he ain't had no money either.
Yeah.
And so we in Rent-A-Center putting $30 on a refrigerator that was $600. A flat screen TV. Oh, we did get the flat screen TV. that flat screen TV was like $5, and I ended up spending $3,000 because that Rent-A-Center thing is a scheme, scam. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yep. But I went there and I was doing it, but like, I was just so scared to tell everybody, I'm so broke, I don't have money for a fridge. Because in California, apartments don't come with fridges. I didn't have money for a TV. I didn't have money for a couch. But I just had money to pay the bills and feed the kids and get them school supplies. And I kept thinking to myself, like, I can't go after whatever dreams I have because I got to make sure that they are fed. And that self-doubt kept me for a while of not pursuing my dreams. And the thing that made me overcome that is one day my son came home and told me that he wished he was somebody else. And I was like, what? Yeah. He was like, well, because their life is better. And I was like, but your life is perfect. And he was like, what? And I was like, no, your life is perfect. And he was like, do you think your life is perfect? And I was like,
Yeah, kids will hit you with a bat. Like,
I mean, you wait till you start talking.
I know.
Wait till you start talking. And you're going to be hit with some stuff. That mirror your kids mm-hmm. give you, woo, that mm-hmm. is real. And it wakes you up. And it made me realize that I was like, well, I can't be afraid of going after the life I want if I want my kid to love his life. And so I had to overcome that fear. And I'm so thankful I did because now I'm here with y'all on y'all amazing podcast. And we rocking and we've been successful. And that's what we do now. Yes, you know what I mean?
You're doing your thing, man. You're doing your thing.
Thank you so much for coming through, man. And tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at Karamo, Facebook at Karamo, Snapchat at Karamo, Twitter at Karamo, K-A-R-A-M-O. I don't know why I did that like I was a rapper.
I spit some bars if you want.
I get in that mode too. Same thing when we had the show and I'd be like, put your phones away. I'd be like rapping this sounds. I'd be like,
what are we doing here? And then you can, catch me 5 days a week. Check your local listens nationwide on the Karamo show or tune into season 9 of Queer Eye on Netflix streaming worldwide. Which is crazy.
Let me tell you something.
It's like, the wildest thing. I was in literally the jungles of Bali, and the tour guide turned and was like, self love, Karamo? And I was like,
self love.
I was like, yes, self love. And he gave me the biggest hug. And I was like, you don't know nothing but me and self love. And I was like, A win is a win.
Yeah,
a win is a win.
Take that. That's it. That's, man, thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for the time. Appreciate
it. Hold on. Can I just, before y'all let me go, I just have to give y'all your praise. Like I said at the beginning, I beg to be on this podcast. I listen. I watch. Y'all are just the voice of the generation. Y'all are superior in the conversations y'all having. Thoughtful. Groundbreaking, new, fresh. I'm excited to be part of y'all journey, watch y'all grow. Y'all are the best. I can't wait to share this out to my audience. Y'all are just the dopest. And so thanks for letting me in. If I got any friends, y'all meet, you know, put the word in.
Oh, please.
Just let me know. It's nothing, but you know what I mean? I really just give y'all roses because I listen to a lot of podcasts and y'all are what this culture needs, what the culture needs, what the world needs. Y'all are just the best. And so thank you for having me on.
Thank you again. And shout out to LaPearl for letting us do this here.
Yes, seriously, shout out.
So thank you, guys. We are signing off. Love y'all.
Peace.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, man.